authority by the teachers of the law. Blasphemy was their thoughts. You could almost hear them screaming out, couldn't you, when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. They go, blasphemy! You can imagine it, can't you? It rings sort of similar to me when they cried, crucify, you know, when Jesus before Pilate. Reminds me of the crowd shouting there. It's interesting to note that although they thought and believed Jesus to be blaspheming, they didn't have the guts to say so, which I also find interesting. But Jesus knew what was going on in their hearts, in their minds. He has the perfect knowledge of what was going on. The same is true for us today. He knows even at this moment exactly what is going on in our minds. I find that quite a good discipline as well, to remind myself of that regularly. Because it's so easy for us, I think, to be swept around by the things of the day and to actually lose sight of Christ altogether. Your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk. And look at the result, the crowd. They were filled with awe. They glorified God. They praised God. And I don't think they saw Jesus as God, but rather as a man to whom God had given such great power. When folk here give testimony to God's healing, how do we respond? I think it's a real question. Do we glorify God? Do we praise God? And again, I confess, I stand here with the rest. I think so often we've had people come up and tell us about how Christ has actually healed them in their daily lives. And what has our response been? Sometimes silence, sometimes a polite hand clap, but I can't remember a time we actually stood up and praised God for healing that person. I think that too is a real challenge for us today, because in a sense it puts Jesus down in my view. If God has healed one of you here today and you've come up here and said, God's healed me in this, and we respond with silence or polite hand clap, I think that's really dishonouring to the Lord, isn't it? Perhaps it's just me. Nothing more is recorded about the man in this event, simply that he took up his bed and walked, presumably with his stunned friends. Jesus saw their faith and acted without hesitation. The men believed that Jesus could do something for him. But again, it's a real question for us. We looked at it 2 weeks ago. Do we believe that Jesus can heal? Do we believe he can? I pray that we do. I also pray that when folk come up in future and say how God has healed them, we're going to respond and glorify God. We're not going to say, oh, it's just Dennis, or oh, it's just Pete, and then move on. We really need to get, because I think it brings God, it lowers our impact and our thoughts about God, I think. It really pulls him down in my mind. So we consider today our need for Sunday Creation Sunday Club. It also reminds me about people who are ill. We need to bring them to Jesus, but it's true also for the young folk in the church. We need people to actually teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's sad today we're still short of people who actually will help to do just that, to bring them to Jesus. I think that's a real challenge for the church at large. Remember the words of Jesus at the end of the gospel, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep. It's a real challenge. Someone has to tell them about Jesus. I think it was last week Dennis sat in the creche, I think, last Sunday morning. Is that the right place for the man you've elected to be pastor of this church to be? It's a challenge. Moving on. Jesus' divine nature is seen in his teaching and his power over sickness. Power over nature, power over demons, now forgiveness of sins. It was a challenge to the people then, and I think it's a challenge to us today. I doubt anyone here remembers the cricketer C.T. Studd. Anyone of my age here remember C.T. Studd? Two, three people, brilliant. He said this, if Christ be God and he died for me, no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. If Jesus Christ be God and he died for me, no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Again, a challenge about how we serve the Lord in our daily lives, which moves on nicely to the calling of Matthew. It's fascinating to see this happen straight after the healing. Jesus goes on to see Matthew, sitting at the tax collector's booth. It's interesting to note that when Jesus called his disciples, he often went to people who were actually already employed. Do you remember Matthew collecting taxes? Simon and Andrew, they're out fishing. James and John, they were fishing. All for example, there are people who Jesus could see potential in who were going to work for the gospel. Now, tax collectors, we all know, were proverbially rich and financially fanatically hated. They not only fleeced the people of Jerusalem, even worse, they worked for Rome. Matthew would have heard some of Jesus' teaching, I think, being in Capernaum, as Jesus was. and most probably had seen some of his miracles. But now Jesus was standing in front of him at his tax booth. Jesus could see the potential. Matthew was educated, and because of his job, well-trained in writing and arithmetic, I guess. He spoke just two words. And it emphasizes what we've been singing, the first two or three songs we sang this morning. Just two words. He said, follow me. And that's what Jesus is saying to us today, I think. We're here today as Christian men and women, but the question still has to be asked, are we following Jesus? Are we walking with him every day? Is he Lord of our thoughts, our actions, the way that we live, the way we treat one another? Are we living a life that's really pleasing to God? Are we living obediently to his word? Can you hear Jesus calling you and saying, follow me? And I think it's so easy to be a Sunday Christian, but Jesus calls us to follow him every day. And that's a real challenge, isn't it? It's God who's doing the calling. How do we rate God? Is he so important that we can actually follow him? We think, well, it's okay for Sundays particularly, maybe one day during the week. We're called to follow him every day, every moment of our lives. So can we say no to God? No, God, I'm not going to follow you today. I'm going to do what I want to do. Do we shut our ears to his calling? Matthew had some natural gifts, but God wanted to use for the growth of the gospel, for the kingdom. We acknowledge that God has given us, all of us here, a wide variety of gifts. And he calls us to use them for the gospel and the spread of the kingdom. Question is, are we using them? Are you using the gifts that God has given you? Am I using the gifts he's given me? It's all this question of following Jesus, isn't it? Matthew, in Jewish eyes, was a publican and a sinner, the lowest of the lows, yet Jesus calls him to follow him. Let's face it, that's a dramatic conversion, isn't it? This man who worked for Rome, who was fleecing the rich and the poor, taking all their money, there's Jesus calling him, follow me. What does Matthew do? He follows Jesus and throws a party. It's an evangelistic event. Not only are friends of Jesus there, but tax collectors and some of his neighbors as well. Now we see Jesus totally at home amongst, we'd probably describe them as a bunch of crooks, I think. The Pharisees were scandalized. They don't address Jesus, but they have a go at his disciples. Jesus hears them. He quotes Hosea 6:6, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Matthew did not choose to find and follow Christ, but Jesus chose and called Matthew to follow him. Just those two words, follow me. It's not a big complicated thing that Jesus gives them, just two words. He's saying it to each of us today, to go on, if we're following him already, to go on following him. Now, I find it amazing that Matthew just got up and did it. So I like the man on the mat, get up and walk, up and walked. And then he says, Matthew, follow me, and Matthew immediately follows him. People often say, well, why were the tax collectors so hated? Well, you know, Matthew was called a publican. A publican today is not quite what a publican was then. A publican today is working around the bars, one of the pubs down the road. But Matthew is called a publican because he dealt with public money and public funds. The Roman government devised this fantastic system whereby taxes could be collected efficiently and easily. The job was auctioned, in fact. You actually had to bid if you wanted the job as a tax collector to get the job. The person who bought that right was then responsible for an agreed sum. They agreed how much he had to collect. Anything he could raise over and above that, he could keep as commission. And we talk about taxation today, but it always amazes me when I look at the Roman taxation system. There's a ground tax. You got 10% of the grain you had to give back to the tax collector, 20% of the fruit and the vine. There's a 1% income tax. There's a poll tax. There's a tax on imports, exports, traveling on roads, crossing bridges, entering markets, entering towns, entering harbors. There's a tax if you had a pack animal, you had wheels, axles on carts, all of this as well as purchase tax. I'm sure you get the picture. No wonder they bid for the job of tax collecting. I can't believe collecting was that easy, though. But it's small wonder that the tax collectors were hated. You can imagine, think how shaking it was really for Matthew to be called. Probably one of the most hated men in Jerusalem. Jesus says, follow me. He follows him. We could see that Jesus could see the potential in this man, being a fisher of men in a very real sense. It's interesting, we see the same when Paul was called. He was persecuting the Christians, yet God sees what, and he changes. He's singled out by God and called. And I think it's, when you think about Matthew, I think it's amazing that Jesus should bother about someone who's so universally hated. But I think it makes a very valid point for all of us. No one, whatever the world thinks, is outside of God's pale. I think it's amazing that Matthew should leave everything, all the money he was earning, all the profits he was getting. And Jesus says, follow me. But Matthew, I suggest you, does not have a clue what that entails. He wasn't going to be given a job description. He didn't know what it was about. He didn't know what was going to be challenged, what he was going to be challenged, or what was involved. Yet he got up and followed him. What, do you know, that's fantastic obedience, isn't it? Did you find that challenging to your own personal life? I do. I find it very challenging. It is, as Jesus said, it's so difficult for a rich man to follow him. Not impossible, but difficult. And the Pharisees were very angry with Jesus. They wished him ill. And at this feast in Matthew's house, they tried to keep a distance from Jesus. And as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we're not immune from the attacks of the enemy. The devil will have a go at you, me and us as a church, sometimes through the church, sometimes through our friends, sometimes through our families, sometimes through our workplace. So as Christians, we always need to be ready to give an answer for what it is we actually believe. And that is why the Alpha Course is so important that we're starting again today. It's one of the reasons we looked at the creed in our home groups, so that people could actually explain to others who don't know Jesus what they actually believed. And I think for many Christians, this is still a real challenge. If you're stopped in the street and someone says, what actually do you believe? I wonder what goes on in your mind. Panic? Or do you just have an answer of what Jesus actually means to you? We're called to be followers of Jesus Christ. Follow me. I'm sure I've told you this before, but I know time's moving on. Underlines the point. A week after I was ordained, I was told to serve as a chaplain to the Bishop of Rochester. This was in Tunbridge Parish Church. It's a special induction service. Bearing in mind, I'd only been ordained the week previously. I didn't have a clue what to do. Nobody ever told me what chaplains did. So I got to the vestry very early, about half an hour before the service, so that I could ask the bishop so he could explain to me what to happen. He arrived 2 minutes before the start of the service. I said, what do you want me to do? He looked, he's 6'6", this man, David Say, and he had his mitre on. He stirred, turned, strode into the chapel, follow me! And in a very real sense, that's exactly what Jesus is saying to you and me. We don't know what's involved when we hear that call. We don't know what it's going to cost us, what impact it's going to have on our lives. And I think God's really challenging us again today to follow him in a very real sense. Not just by saying we're Christian, by acting and living. That song we had, I think the second one, giving our soul to Christ and our heart to Christ and everything else. That's what Jesus is asking for us today. The question is, are we going to do it? Are we going to follow him? I think all of us can hear those words of the Lord Jesus Christ saying to each one of us individually, follow me.
Thank you, Francis. Would those